Welcome you here. My name is Andy. And if you are a guest here or you want to start a journey, you may be seated. But if you want to start a journey with Jesus, there's a card in front of you. Feel free to fill out that card. We want to walk with you in your journey with Jesus. And one thing we are doing here at Home Church is we believe in the next generation, not for the next generation, but for now. And so we have a few interns you'll hear today and throughout the summer, but we are in a summer series called Ordinary People, Extraordinary God, through the book of Acts. And we encourage you this summer to even read the book of Acts, but we are even just as excited to have Pastor Devin here in the house, who's going into her third year at Summit Pacific College. So can you give a round of applause for Devin? She's interning here at Home Church, and we want to fan into flame the call of God, not just in the next generation, but for all people. But part of that is to give these sacred spaces and places, like the pulpit, like preaching or speaking, to the next generation now. And so can we give, actually, we're going to pray for Devin, and just speak blessing over her. So if you're open to it, what we do is we just ask you to, you know, put your hand out, and it just is in affirmation and confirmation what God's already doing in your life, Devin. So we're just going to pray blessing over you. So let's pray for her today. God, we thank you for Devin. We thank you for people that hear the whispers of the Lord and respond to those whispers. We pray that you would give her your words today for your people, and that you continue to affirm and confirm the call of God on her life, that the whispers will become louder and clearer, and that you would continue to lead and guide her as she is faithful to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's all yours, Dev.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Wow, that's great. We have a response. Before I start, I just want to quickly say that we do have a kids program kind of thing going on, so go to Vincent in the back if you have kids and want to connect with him. But otherwise, we have sermon notes in the back as well. If you would like to grab those, you can go do that now. But yes, my name is Devin, and I'm an intern here at Home Church, although I think that most of you know this by now. One, because Andy just said it, but two, because the minute I showed up at this place, every single one of you knew my name already, which was kind of funny for everyone to recognize me. But I'm really thankful for that, and it's a trait I've grown to love about this church. And so I'm in Bible college right now, but if we go back 5 years, I was not in Bible college, but instead in grade 10 at a Christian private school. It was called Abbotsford Christian School. And at this school, they had a program where you could meet and interact with international students. They would have different field trips and different activities for you to get to know them and become friends. So I got to be great friends with a lot of Japanese, Korean, and Chinese students. And in my 10th year of high school, or my grade 10 year, I guess, I became best friends with 4 Japanese girls. And with them, I got to know Vancouver. You can see evidence of us here at Playland, enjoying the time that we had here. And we also had a lot of good food, mind you. But more than that, I remember the bonds I formed with each of these girls in the picture on the right, Hina, Sena, Mihiro, and you. And I remember how they challenged me in my faith. None of them were Christians. None of them even knew who Jesus was. Yet they went with me to a Christian school. They attended Bible class with me. We heard sermons together. How were they supposed to understand that with no context? It was really brave of them, a hard thing to do. I remember trying to share with them what it meant to be a Christian, but I could tell it went over their heads. I also had never shared Jesus before, so I was struggling with that at the time. I resorted to asking a simple question after class or after sermons: do you understand? I would ask them this question after we heard something, and they would be more receptive and open to me. They'd be more honest about their struggles, saying, yeah, I didn't get that. What does that mean? And through these conversations, I could bring them a little bit closer to Jesus through my words and an attitude of gentleness. In the story we're going to read today, this very same question is asked: do you understand? And this question becomes a catalyst for somebody to then actually understand and even accept Jesus. As a church, we've been going through a series in the book of Acts about ordinary people and an extraordinary God. Today, we'll be focusing on two ordinary men. So I want to talk about who they are before we read anything else. The first man was named Philip. Who was Philip? He was a leader in the Jerusalem church. He was known for being full of the Holy Spirit and reliant on God. He was even so respected that he was appointed by the apostles to watch over the funds and the donations that were being given towards the people who were poor. They trusted them to not steal. They trusted them to serve well. He was one of the seven men that was selected. And as he traveled, he performed miracles such as healings and the casting out of demons. If you were here a few weeks ago, you'll remember when our other intern, Joseph, preached on Simon the sorcerer, a man who also interacted with Philip. But his heart was not in the right place. He tried to buy the Holy Spirit with money. But this story that we're reading today comes directly after that one. And I don't think it's intentional just because of timeline. I think it's meant to show a direct contrast between someone who has their heart in the right place and someone who doesn't. The person who had their faith in the right place is the Ethiopian eunuch. This man is described by his traits rather than given a name. And I think there is a reason for that, which we're going to talk about. So what is a eunuch? You might be wondering. I wondered too. I had no idea what that meant. But eunuchs were men who worked as guards within the royal courts. This was a highly established and important position. But it was no simple role, because in order to become a eunuch, men had to undergo a physical surgery or procedure that would make them unable to have children and would lower their testosterone, etc. You can figure out what happens. But in the surgery that they did, it was for the sake of them being able to watch over women's living quarters and be seen as safe men. So this is what he did. And this man worked for the queen of Ethiopia and watched over her treasury. So it's undoubtable that he would have had this procedure done. But why mention this? Because eunuchs were actually rejected within society. They were seen as unclean. They were seen as neither man nor woman. They were called creatures instead of actual people. And this went so far into, or this was so deep-rooted in society that they were even rejected from worshiping God in the temples in Jerusalem. Yet this is where we find our eunuch in our story. So why mention that he's Ethiopian? Well, it's not for the sake of describing his appearance. It's for the sake of showing how far and wide the gospel was spreading and how different people in different areas were still realizing the same truth of God. Now, with all that information, let's get into the first half of our story. If you have a Bible on your phone or physical one, you can tap or turn to that now. And we're going to look at Acts 8. We will start with verse 26 and go to verse 35. And I'm actually going to flip to it so you guys have time to get to it too. Acts 8, verse 26 to 35. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandak, which means the treasury, or which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting on his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the... Sorry, guys. And Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. So I want to focus right now on the process of how Philip approaches the Ethiopian eunuch. Because yes, this scripture shows a really important relationship between the eunuch and Philip, two different ordinary people. But it also shows a really important partnership between the Holy Spirit, who is extraordinary, and people who are ordinary. First, an angel of the Lord appears to Philip and tells him to go to a certain road. An angel of the Lord. Now, I think that if an angel appeared right here in front of us all, that we'd be pretty astonished and would be pretty hard to ignore. Nearly impossible, I would say. But Philip chooses to not ignore what's right in front of him, and he chooses to listen to what he's being told. Second, the Holy Spirit tells Philip to go to the chariot and stay near it. Note that this is no longer the angel speaking. This is the Holy Spirit. He's telling Philip where he should go on the path. Now, all of us hear the Holy Spirit differently. Some through pictures, some hear audibly, some might hear it just by a gut feeling. But however you hear the Holy Spirit, knowing what he's saying requires listening. So I have a question for you. When you are faced with a road that God has put you on, are you stopping there? Or are you listening to the Holy Spirit as you are on the path and seeing what's the next step he wants you to take? Philip could have gone to the road and just waited for something to happen. That's all the angel told him to do. But instead, he chose to listen to the Holy Spirit's whispers in his life. And it brought him further down the path. And better yet, he knew it was in the right direction because it was led by God. Third, Philip runs to the chariot to meet the eunuch. I find this part of the story fascinating because the Spirit didn't even tell him to go there. The angel didn't, the Spirit didn't. It says that he chose to go. And he would have known that this is what Jesus would want him to do in this moment. Maybe he also asked the Spirit. He was given a place, not a person. Yet he realized this really important thing that we all need to understand today. That placement always comes with purpose. And that purpose always involves people. Now, I want everyone who might be zoning out right now to wake up because we're going to do something together. I want you all to pull out something to write with, whether it's your phone or the note card in front of you, or another paper, and I'm going to ask some questions. No, this will not be graded. It can be if you want to be, but I don't know what grade I'd give you. And then we're going to write our answers. So be honest with yourself. These answers can be short or long. The first question is this. Where are you placed in life right now? Maybe it's a location, like school or a job, or a group, like a sports team or a church ministry. Or maybe you think more conceptually and you're thinking, well, I'm a dad, or this is my role in the family, or I live in this neighborhood near these people. And I want you to actually write down a location or a place in life that you are a part of. It can be one thing. You don't need to write all of them. And the second question I have is this. What purpose do you see in you being placed there? If you're struggling to come up with an answer to this, you can think of these questions. What do you do in that place you wrote down? What fulfills you about being there? Why did you end up there? Or why are you staying there? It doesn't need to be deep. This answer can even be because I have to be there. Sometimes when I'm in school, I feel like, oh, I have to be there. We all have those moments. And the third question is this. Does that purpose that you just wrote down involve people? If it does, great. Don't lose sight of that. Maybe it kind of does, but you can go easily avoiding it. If that's you, I encourage you to maybe make the most of the people that are in front of you by getting to know them and loving them like Jesus would. And if it doesn't at all, I challenge you to really step out and really try to involve people. Maybe you feel like your placement is kind of pointless. Maybe, oh, it's just work. It's just school. Maybe you struggle to come up with a purpose for why you're in those places. Maybe you don't even know, or you don't like the purpose that you see. Or maybe your purpose you think shouldn't even involve people. Why do I need to involve people in my day-to-day life? But in the life of Jesus, which we are called to copy, he would say differently. Everywhere that he went and in everything that he did, he always involved people, whether they were a stranger to him, whether they were his disciples or his best friends. It didn't matter whether they were accepted or they had leprosy and were unclean. He always loved people. Maybe today is the day that you remind yourself how purposeful your life is meant to be. Romans 8, verse 28 says that we are called according to his purpose. It's not a question of if we are called. It's not a question of if we have purpose. It's instead in a personal call and a personal purpose we have to live like Jesus did. This means that we have to prompt ourselves and ask, how is my purpose supposed to be lived out? How? That takes initiative. This is what it means when the Bible says to step out in faith. Because, like I said, Philip was given a place, not a person, but he still knew that that was Jesus' heart. He had to refer to Jesus' life. Maybe you struggle to reach out like this. I know that I do. Here's some examples maybe you can relate to. You want to pray for someone, or you feel compelled to pray for someone, but you're too embarrassed, so you don't. Or you have a life plan scheduled. This is what I'm going to do this year, and then the year after that. But God puts an idea in your head, and you completely ignore it because you don't want it to mess up your idea of what you had before. But church, these are not attitudes that we should accept, because people fight for their purpose, and this is part of ours. So we have to stand up and take the initiative and realize that when people are involved, sometimes it means doing what we don't want to do for the sake of our purpose. And perhaps you're here confused about what it means to hear the Holy Spirit or have him direct your life. And that's okay. I didn't understand it for most of my life. But if that's you, one of our pastors would love to talk to you. I know that for us, it's completely changed our lives to realize the impact of the Holy Spirit. And we'll have a response time after the sermon too. So if you at all relate to this, I would encourage you to use that time to pray. But regardless of what category you fit into, wherever phase of faith you are in right now, this one big idea is true for us all, that once we go, people become the mission. Once Philip took initiative and realized that people were part of the plan that God had him in for being in that place, he ran to the eunuch. He just knew, and he was eager to do what God wanted him to do. And he understood that wherever he was, people were worth running for. It kind of reminds me of the movie Frozen with Olaf the Snowman, when he says some people are worth melting for. You know, I just think of that as sacrificial love, because for Olaf, that meant dying. And maybe for us, it doesn't mean physically dying, but it might mean dying to my idea of what life should be like, or dying to myself and dying to the things that hold me back. Often loving people like Jesus tires us a lot. So what do we do in the midst of this tiredness? We hope in the Lord. And through him, we are able to actually run in our purpose rather than walk in it or just trudge along in it. Isaiah 40 verse 31 is a scripture that God spoke over me in my past years at Summit. And this verse says that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Loving people like Jesus would, or telling people about Jesus, is hard. But I want to summarize a few things Philip did when approaching the eunuch that I think could be helpful for us today. What do we do after we get the go from God? Well, we step out in faith. We do this by referring to what Jesus has done. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? And taking action, not just saying words. We also break barriers, because Philip and the eunuch were nothing alike. Different ethnicity, different appearance, different positions of power, and different perceptions within society. But breaking barriers starts with acknowledging the one who broke all the barriers in the first place. And that person is Jesus. He broke our bondage from sin. He welcomed Gentiles into the Jewish family. And he loved people that others hated. So how do we become united then? Well, we find common places, things we have in common with others. And this is partially a casual thing through conversations like, oh, what do you like? What do you do? And getting to know people. But it also is related to the things that other people might not realize we have in common, but we actually do. Those things are the Word of God and the cross. The Word of God, the Bible, is what brought Philip and the eunuch together. That's what they bonded over. That's what they talked about. And that is what actually led the eunuch to Christ. And the cross. Jesus died for both of them just the same. He loves them both just the same, whether they realize it or not. I was watching TV a few weeks ago, and a commercial came on for the FIFA World Cup. Anybody watch FIFA in here? I raised my hand only to demonstrate because I know nothing about soccer. But I was watching it, one of the games, and the commercial was showing people bonding through the game. It was saying how it unites us all. And there was two people on the bus across from each other, but they were wearing the same jersey. And so they like had a nod of understanding. You know, when you see somebody that like has a band shirt on or something that you know, and you see them, and you're like, I understood. Or there was this little kid that was looking up at his dad cheering, and he was copying him. This is because they had something in common. They had something uniting them. And that thing they had in common was actually displayed and allowed for people to be united in that way. So I ask you today, are you wearing your Jesus jersey in public, or are you hiding it? It might not even feel like you're blatantly hiding it on purpose, but maybe if you're not bringing Jesus up or not bringing up the way that God worked in your week or your life, then you kind of are hiding it, right? God's word and the cross should be displayed because they are the things that unite us as people. Which leads me to my second point, which is that people are a mission, not a project. I'm going to say that again. People are a mission, not a project. From the story we've read, we can find some key ways that this interaction between Philip and the eunuch was a relationship. There's a key question here. Do you understand? This is what I said with my friends from Japan. This is what Philip says to the eunuch. And it's a great way to help others to actually acknowledge. It's a great way to help others not tune us out and to get them to respond. One way to do that is through questions, getting to know people, having them respond, rather than saying the word or saying the gospel to them, right? If we get them to interact with it, they'll have a deeper understanding. Then there's a key indicator of the fact that the eunuch invited Philip to sit with him. The gospel message itself is an invitation, and invitations should be welcoming. If you sent out a party invitation in the mail, but when somebody opened it, it was a fart bomb that exploded in their face or something sharp that came flying out at them, they probably wouldn't want to come to your party. But if you make it a nice note with clear directions, then maybe they'll come and they know how to get there. The gospel should reveal the truth. It should be convicting, but it should not be a threat because it's good news. And so if we want the gospel to appear welcoming, we have to be welcoming people. There's also a key response here. Philip begins with the passage of scripture that the eunuch was reading. That same passage, he met him where he was at. He used what he was curious about. He knew that this was going to get through to him. And with that, he told him the good news of Jesus. Philip could have gone up to the eunuch and just said, oh yeah, the passage is about Jesus, answered his question, but then not told him about Jesus at all. I think often we might do this. We'll say something surface level for the sake of like showing our faith, but not really going deeper with people in it, because that's uncomfortable. But he went a step further to make sure the gospel message got through, because that's what's actually going to save him. So let's finish off our story together. You can turn your Bibles back to Acts 8, and we will start with verse 36 and go until verse 40. Verse 36 to 40. Also, in this translation, sometimes one verse is included and sometimes it's not. I have it in your notes. It's not in here. All it is just reiterating the same line over again. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Now, this is an interesting piece of the story, because what do you mean Philip completely disappears and then reappears again? We'll talk about that in a second. But everything that led to him being baptized was because of willingness. This is my third point, that with people who are so ordinary and a God who is so extraordinary, our partnership with God is everything. Like I said, everything happened because of willingness. The eunuch was willing to travel for weeks, if not months, to get to Jerusalem, because that's how long it would have taken him from Ethiopia, just to worship a God that he didn't even fully know about, a God that he was learning about and in a place that was going to reject him anyway. He wouldn't even be allowed in the temple. He just wanted to hear. And Philip was willing to associate himself with someone that others would reject. He was willing to welcome him into the kingdom of God, just as Jesus would. And now about the part of Philip disappearing. Yes, the Holy Spirit takes him and makes him disappear and then reappear in another area miles away. This, I think, is the Holy Spirit showing that he endorses the work that Philip is doing, because it would allow him to be more productive, spread the word to more people. But I think too often we get really focused on this part of the story, when actually this isn't the best thing that happened that day. It's the salvation of the eunuch. It's the fact that God put two ordinary people together and crossed their paths so that the extraordinary could happen. It's about how powerful the Bible is to lead someone to believe. And in fact, the scripture that Philip and the eunuch were reading was prophetic. That was written before Jesus even came. His word is alive today, and it can be used to transform people's lives. This is the Great Commission lived out. The Great Commission is the call we have on our lives, and it's what Jesus instructs his disciples to do. In Matthew 28, it says, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." That includes Ethiopia, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is what Philip did. God could have revealed this truth to the eunuch without Philip. He could have given him a vision or made it suddenly click. He could have made an angel of the Lord appear, because we know that he did that earlier in the chapter. But he decided to use an ordinary, obedient person instead. And guess what? You are all ordinary people, and you all have the ability to be obedient, and you all serve an extraordinary God. If you're curious of what it could mean to serve that extraordinary God, once again, talk to one of those pastors. We'd love to talk to you. And don't forget about your partnership with him. Romans 10 talks about how people need to go out in order to hear and spread the gospel. And the last line of it says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." This shows action. You have to take a step. You have to bring the gospel. So to summarize everything I've talked about, I'll say this. Where God places you is intentional, and your willingness to obey him or take a step of faith can change someone's eternity. So I'm going to invite the band to come up now, and I'm going to respond. No, we are going to respond with looking at what we wrote, the placement, the purpose, and the people we have in our lives. I want you to look at that and spend some time praying over it. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come up, and if you would like prayer over any of these areas of your life or something else entirely, they're here with you to minister and to bring that to light. All these parts of your life are already intentional. So I challenge you to realize why they are intentional and to see how you can take another step in faith today. And realize that, yes, God calls ordinary individuals. He also calls ordinary groups of people. And we're a group of people. First service and second service, Cantonese and English. We are all here together and we can take these steps together. You don't need to be alone in it because it is scary. It's really hard. But we are here with you to serve God. So let's respond together and then we'll participate in communion.